Goeiedag. Ek kuier vandag saam met Elna Rudolph, soos sy's 'n bekende op televisie en ook in die land. En Elna, welkom in Stellenbosch. Is lekker hier in Stellenbosch saam met jou.
Dankie Theo, dis so lekker om hier te wees.
Elna, in die Bybel is daar nou hierdie band tussen seksualiteit en spiritualiteit. Maar toch lyk dit vir my of die kerk verskriklik sukkel daarmee, want daar's ook op een van die groot skande van 'n prediker. Wat dink jy is die probleem daar?
Ek dink dit is die vyand se strategie om seker te maak dat ons nie oor die goed praat nie. Want as ons nie daaroor praat nie, bly dit in die donker en dinge wat in die donker is, is in sy riem. Dit is nodig om die goed te bepraat. Mens loop nie elke dag, heel dag en praat sommer oor seks onder enige omstandighede nie. Maar daar is nie geen plek en tyd om daaroor te praat nie. En in die kerk moet ons praat en praat en praat en praat en nie afpraat op mense en net vir hulle sê, dit is wat jy moet en nie moet doen nie. Want het werk nie. Mense het ongelooflike uitdagings rondom seksualiteit binne in die huwelik. Hoe moet hulle met hulle kinders praat? Wat hulle tieners aanvang? Die weet mense se drange en behoeftes en daar's nie eenvoudige antwoorde vir die goed nie. Ek het nou met dit betrokke op 'n baie globale politiese vlak ook by die Wêreldorganisasie vir Seksuele Gesondheid en hoe meer ek daarbij betrokke is, hoe meer kom ek agter dat dit is regtig kompleks. Die antwoord is nie noodwendig eenvoudig nie, maar die waarheid bly daar en ek glo God se waarheid vir seks is eintlik universeel toepaslik, maar ons gaan dit moet bepraat.
Dan wat met 'n pa vir ma nou vir hulle kind sê, want ons vra gewoonlik vir 12, 13 jaar, wat jy nou gehoor van seks? En dan ons lag verskriklik. Jy weet, want dit kom nooit van die pa nie, maar sien sê nou maar as ek nou dink aan myself, selfs ek word ongemaklik, weet nie hoekom nie.
Ja.
Maar wat so wat met 'n pa en 'n ma nou doen? En jy het nou hierdie tiener wat in 'n hormoonontploffing beland.
Ja. Die ding is dat 12 of 13 is heeltemal te laat. In Engels sê hulle uit is too late. So jy moet met 'n kind praat oor seksualiteit reg van die begin af, van geboorte af. En dit is net iets wat jy Russell dan ook, as jy dit van die begin af doen, teen 12 of 13, baie gemakkeliker daarmee wees en jou kind is gemakkeliker. Want as jy op daardie ouderdom eerst die onderwerp ophaal, dan sien jou kind hoe ongemakkelijk jy is en dan besef hulle kan nie met jou daaroor praat nie, want hulle hou nie daarvan om jou ongemakkelijk te maak nie. So, 'n mens praat natuurlijk nie oor tegniese detail, man, ek het 'n paar grade en ek het nie eens al die tegniese detail in my grade geleer nie, jy weet, so, dit is nie iets wat 'n mens met 'n kind bespreek nie, maar jy praat oor dinge soos toestemming en soos, jy weet, daar's niks fout met jou lyfie nie, maar ons is nie kaal vir ander mense nie, want ander mense het die reg om nie aan genitalie blootgestel te word nie, byvoorbeeld, jy weet. So dit is die punt, dit is die waarheid. Nie, daar's iets fout met jou genitalie en daarom moet jy dit toemaak nie. So hoe meer ons 'n ding bedink oor hoekom dit werklik so is, dat iets nie sis of so mag gebeur nie, jy weet, ons almal glo nie buitehuwelikse seks is sonde nie, byvoorbeeld. Maar vir kinders om seksueel aktief te raak, het geweldige, dit berokken skade. Dit maak dat hulle kans om 'n graad te kry laer is, wat hulle in 'n laer sosio-ekonomiese plek plaas, wat hulle kinders weer onder risiko plaas. En jy weet, dit het sulke type verrykende gevolge. So, 'n mens moet seker maak, wat is die rede dat jy byvoorbeeld 'n kind op 16 wil beskerm teen seksuele aktiwiteit? Dit gaan oor ons geloof, oortuiging natuurlik, maar dit gaan ook oor baie meer as dit. En as ouers so eenvoudig wil wees om net geloofsoortuiging te gebruik as ja nee vir die dinge en hulle dit wil in teenstand bring dan met daai kind se hormone wat wild is en uitstekend werk. Dit werk baie goed op daai ouderdom. Dan maak die kind baie keer nie die regte besluit nie, want jy het hulle nie toegerus met kennis en eintlik dit is nie net kennis nie. Jy moet 'n kind leer as jy sê nou nou in 'n situasie is om, wat jy nou voel, oe, hierdie gaan nou bietjie te ver gaan, ek wil nie dit moet aangaan nie. Jy moet daai ding bepraat. Hoe gaan jy daar uitkom? Jy weet, en dis 'n eenvoudige raad soos om te sê, ek wil gou draai gaan loop. Eenvoudig, dit hoef jy nie te laat bloos om te sê ek wil gou 'n draai gaan loop nie. Jy hoef nie eers die name reg te noem om dit te sê nie, maar jy moet die kind toerus met die vermoë om te kan ja of nee sê of wat ook. Jy weet, so dis eintlik baie eenvoudig aan die een kant, maar aan die ander kant is dit nie so eenvoudig soos wat ons dit wil maak nie. Dit is beslis nie 'n 5 minute gesprek wat nooit weer herhaal word nie. Dit is iets wat oor die kind se leeftyd gebeur. En as die kind 40 is, en jy kan met wysheid in hulle lewe inspreek, nog soveel te beter. So dit is 'n lewenslange proses.
Elna, baie dankie. Dit is lekker om met jou te gesels. Jy, ek moet sê, jy het nog 'n gift om mense op te saak. En jy inspireer. Goed, en so bly jy in hierdie veld en lewer ook 'n bydra.
Baie dankie.
Mag die Kaap ook dan sy gawe vir julle gee hierso.
Baie dankie, ek waardeer.
Dankie vir die saamwees.
Groot plesier.
Let's read together from 1 Corinthians 6 and 7. From the Message, those who use and abuse each other, use and abuse sex, use and abuse the earth and everything in it, don't qualify as citizens in God's kingdom. A number of you know from experience what I'm talking about. For not so long ago, you were on that list. Since then, you've been cleaned up. Given a fresh start by Jesus, our Master, our Messiah, and by our God, present in us, the Spirit. There's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in Scripture, the two became one. Since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that can never become one. Is the good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly, but only within a certain context. I'm simply trying to point out that under your new master, you're going to experience a marvelous freedom you would never have dreamt of. So we're busy with the topic of sexuality, and best way to start is with the definition of sexuality. Ronald Rollizer says, sexuality is an all-encompassing energy inside of us. In one sense, it is the identifiable with the principle of life itself. It is the drive for love, communion, community, friendship, family, affections, wholeness, consummation, creativity, self-perpetuation, immortality, joy, delight, humor, and self-transcendence. It is not good to be alone. It's well worth thinking about these words. There's a drive, a yearning, a force, a fire. The Greeks called it eros, inside of us, to transcend, to move beyond ourselves, to connect, to have community, to have unity, to create, to be creative, to be joyful, to celebrate. It's all part of this energy inside of us. We're living with pictures, and I want to ask you what your picture is of sexuality. When would sexuality be in full bloom for you? Well, I'll share a few pictures that I had the past few weeks. The first one was going out of church. I saw a couple, elderly couple, I suspect around about 80, holding hands on their way to their motor vehicle to go home. He stopped and he wanted to go somewhere, and they kissed each other and he went. She waited for him, and as he came back, she stretched out her hand to ask for his hand, to take hands again and move on to the car. At the car, he opened up the door, closed the door for her, made sure the safety belt is properly in its place, and I left. And I was touched by it, and I couldn't help but think, Isn't this a wonderful picture of a sexuality in full bloom? So a mother breastfeeding, and she was totally lost in the act. She was singing a lullaby to her baby, totally self-unconscious. And the baby was enjoying it. You could see it by its feet moving. It was like a little cat purring. And I thought, what a wonderful picture of a sexuality in full bloom. I visited a friend. She's nearly 70 now, retired, never got married, don't have any children. And as we spoke, I asked her, don't you feel a miss in your life? Didn't you feel that you've missed out on life? She looked at me and she said, no. I knew when I made some decisions that I wouldn't have everything in life. And I think in this life, you can't have anything, everything in depth. And I'm okay with it. I'm not focusing on what I couldn't have or didn't have or achieve in life. I'm satisfied and I'm so deeply grateful and thankful for my life. And as I listened to her, saw her joy, her engagement with life, the community she lives in, the love that she has for people and sharing a life, I couldn't help but feel a sexuality in full bloom. So if you picture, perhaps was something that you got from a screen and that has more to do with Hollywood and perfect naked bodies, it might make sexuality very small. Because sexuality is something much more bigger. The idea that sex is sexuality is a misdemeanor. Sex cannot carry or give you what a sexuality can give you, a healthy, life-giving sexuality. If you think that sex equals sexuality, you'll be deeply disappointed in life. You will never find fulfillment. You will blame the people around you for the lack of fulfillment and joy that you receive in life. It's much more bigger. So here's the first invitation. Not to think of sexuality as sex by itself. And to develop an idea, an imagination, and a feeling of the largeness of sexuality. Today, invitation through three words, three ideas, three stories, to move towards a more mature, life-giving sexuality and sex life. The first one is good. That's the first word. Paul says, first, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly. And I cannot help but think that he echoes Genesis 1, where God made man and woman, Adam and Eve, looked at them and said, it is good. And then said that they would become one. And it is good. So there's nothing bad about the fact that we are sexual human beings. In fact, so much of our joy, most of the ecstasies experienced every day is through a sexual encounter and through the fact that we are sexual beings. But like with every other endowment that we are born with, it's got to be developed. You know, our cognitive ability, our ability to think, knowledge, emotionally to feel, and we can go on every ability that you have, has to be developed. And so it is with sexuality. And perhaps we can explain it very practically just to give you an idea and a feel of how it develops in life. Let's take a boy, for instance. In his adolescent years, he's got dreams. And perhaps he's a bit selfish. But there comes a stage with all the hormones and the releasement of all the hormones in him that his mood changes, that his thinking, he becomes obsessive. It's all that he thinks about so much of the time, and he just wants to have sex. Particulars are not important. I want sex. A little bit later in his life, he falls in love. Suddenly, he wants something more than sex. He wants intimacy, exclusivity, a commitment. Suddenly, there's a new inner dynamic happening inside of him. And his idea of sex is developing. And he moves into a more mature sexuality. Later in life, he got married. And it's good for a while, but then he wants children. And again, something happens to him. He gets a lot of no's. Not now. And he, at that stage, I personally think it's the stage in life where mutuality becomes a very important, engraved experience. And the realization that my sex drive is a desire. It is not a need. It is not something like food that I cannot go without. And without resentment, he can put aside his desires and his longings for something bigger. And the process that doesn't stop there. He becomes a grandfather, and it keeps on developing and growing through life. So that's an invitation to say yes through the different developmental stages of your sex and your sexuality. The second big word is chaste. Now, Paul says it's a good thing to have sexual relations, but only within a certain context. He's referring to chastity there. Although the word is not used, he used it explicitly when he wrote to Titus and said, be chaste. I spoke to a few friends about this word, and I didn't get a lot of positive reaction using this word. It's not a word commonly used in our vocabulary today. And most of them made connections with prudeness, with celibacy, and made jokes about it. But the word chaste actually means that you are respectful, you have reverence, and you act in patience. Towards an experience involving people, things, places, and time. In the case of sex, for instance, a time, a maturity, the certain stage in your life, when you've developed emotionally, socially, to the extent that you are ready for such an encounter. If you are chaste, the experience will be experienced as integrative. You'll be thankful. There'll be a lot of joy. If you're not chaste, there'll be irreverence, impatience, disintegration, cynicism, and it would be a violation of somebody or something. That's why the philosopher Camus said, chastity alone is connected to personal progress. A story. I was a student minister and once spoke to a young student, a girl, who was suffering from anxiety attacks and depression and inner chaos happening in her life. She was in a relationship with a few men, few other students. And she was sexually involved with him. It became very complicated for her. You know, and you could see the turmoil. She didn't experience community. She was all by herself. She was bitter, full of cynicism. And in our discussion, I was amazed that she couldn't make a connection with the way that she lived and the inner experience she was sitting with. In fact, she felt that her problem was a physical problem and she needed medication, something else to help her with her mood. That would be the solution. Speaking about her way of life, she felt that what she's doing is actually a moral victory, getting rid of chastity. Because that is something that the church and her mother and father sold to her. They indoctrinated her. But they are naive. They don't know what the real life is about. You know, for her, it was a victory. And I wonder about what she said and how she felt about it. And I wonder whether she was a bit naive about the power of sex, the energy that's released through this. She thought, reflecting on it, I would get into paradise by eating of the forbidden fruit. Actually, the old story is that you will lose paradise. Yes, you will gain the knowledge, first-hand knowledge of good, of evil. And now she sits with that experience. But she cannot recognize it, just as Adam and Eve cannot recognize it. And there is no remorse or insight or tears flowing that might purify her heart and the inside. It's a big word, chastity, and it's a challenge for us. The third word is complex. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical act. So these two words, spiritual and physical, it is both. It's not either or. And somebody once said that the world ended up with passion, and the church ended up with chastity, and both of them are losing. You know, we cannot divide spiritual and physical. And we cannot think and say that, for instance, it's just a physical act. It's just a normal urge, need that God has created us with. And it is, it's neutral. And it is, it won't bring any harm. It's not the truth. Why are there laws about sex? With whom you have sex? Where you have sex? When you have sex? Why? Because it is dangerous. Because it has a tremendous effect on us. It is not neutral. It is spiritual as well. So here's an invitation from Paul is to bring your sexuality and your spirituality together. To heal the split between sex and God and your spirituality. And to do that is not easy. It's a struggle. And some of us has a huge struggle with it. Let me explain it with a story once again. A little baby was born with male and female organs. After tests and deliberation with the parents, they decided that she would become a little daughter, a little girl. She grew up, and later in her teenage years, she visited the doctor, and he did some tests on her. And what he discovered is that she don't have any female inner organs. And he did a test on chromosomes and found out that she had manly chromosomes, XY. It turned her whole life upside down. She was a follower of Christ, and her first cry was, "Why did you do this to me, God? Why should I live with this burden?" It was because of the fact that she couldn't really understand. Now, what am I? Am I male? Am I female? Of course, that was one of the first things that boggled me when I realized her story, is that there aren't just two sexes, male and female. She was born both male and female. But now she couldn't decide upon her gender. She was uncertain. The gender is how you feel about your sexual state. And then her orientation. You know, I'm used to date boys. What's going to happen to me now? And what am I going to do now? One of the doctors suggested a very simple solution. Let's do the operation and make you a man. She was totally upset by it. She was also upset by the church that told her, you're not allowed to do anything here, and what you should do. People had simple answers for her, and it hurt her. It is complicated. Luckily, she met and became part of a community that said, come on a journey. Let's pray about it. Get in contact with the deepest desires in your heart. Listen to that still small voice. Look at what's happening in your relationships. Let's do some studies. Let's talk about it. Let's discern with Christ where you should go with your life and what's the next step in your sexuality and the path that you should take. Friends, and that's our invitation to become humble. And perhaps to be like Jesus, not perhaps, really, to be like him and to be open to the stranger and to the strange things that we're getting to do with. To accept, to listen, to be compassionate, and to be in that space where something creative and new can happen and where God can lead and heal like Jesus did with all the people that he met. I want to ask you where you are at this moment in your life and perhaps what's your invitation this morning. Well, first of all, I suppose it's to talk. We don't talk about this stuff. Paul talks about, the Bible talks about, there's a whole book about it. We've got to talk about it. Since early age, we've got to start talking about it. And then we've got to share our pain, our struggles. We've got to be very courageous to live the life that we are called to live and to develop a life-giving sexuality. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the way that you've made us. Help us to accept, and more than accept, to celebrate. Help us to grow, to develop. And heal us, for some of us are in the bonds of addiction, confusion. Guide us. Let your will be done in our lives. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.